The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of drive time.
It's time now for a China perspective, where we take a look at headlines coming out of China. China revisiting their conscription law to the country, increasingly barring people from leaving, including foreign executives. What exactly is going on here? Well, let's talk about these headlines with Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. I'm doing okay. Recovering from the Raya celebrations.
I can imagine you must have quite a lot of visiting to do.
Yes, indeed.
Oh my gosh, so much fun, so much food to eat. But let's talk about these headlines. Good gosh, Chinese President Xi Jinping speaking to his Ukrainian counterpart Volodymyr Zelensky by telephone last week. Were we expecting this phone call? And I suppose the same question comes up again. How crucial is China looking to place itself in terms of a role to end this war between the Ukraine and Russia?
Oh, it was long expected after President Xi Jinping visited Russia, I think more than a month ago. We were actually expecting some form of shuttle diplomacy, perhaps not by President Xi himself, but certainly, let's say, by his foreign minister between the two warring sides of Ukraine and Russia. And that kind of expectation was, of course, fresh from China's very successful brokering of the resumption of diplomatic ties between Iran and Saudi Arabia. So China suddenly became like the go-to country in terms of being, the mediator. Mm. So that's why there was this expectation. Yeah.
Quite interesting. I suppose it comes back down to we talked about the expectation and the role that they're playing and how crucial it's going to be. But have we examined the why? I mean, why does China want to work so hard to mediate this process? Is there a driver here?
Well, number one, of course, as I said, China would like to nowadays making itself a renowned, credible diplomatic player on the international stage, on par with the United States. So that's one thing, prestige and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are more practical sides to it. Because China, well, it's traditionally very good, shall we say, friends or even allies to both Russia and Ukraine. Let us not forget, for example, I mean, we saw a lot of this trading between China and Russia, with oil and gas and so on. But let us not forget, for example, China's first aircraft carrier was actually from Ukraine. And they have a lot of trade in terms of foodstuffs and so on. So I think China sees an interest in, you know, if it could be the peace broker, then both countries would be thankful to it, right? And then therefore they will enhance the relationship with China. Yeah.
Now, it sounds great, PR point of view, and especially if they can succeed. But is there anything stopping China from succeeding other than Russia saying, I don't want to talk to you?
Well, I think both sides of the Ukraine crisis, they are sort of doubling down on their respective positions, both physical as well as posturing. For example, I think it's very difficult to persuade Russia to let go of those eastern Ukrainian territories, not to mention Crimea. On the other hand, I think the Ukrainian side is very insistent upon recovering those lands. So it would indeed take very skillful diplomacy to try to reach some sort of a middle point here.
Mm. Dr. O, let's talk about the conscription law that's being revised. What can you tell us about this and what's the rationale here?
Well, the main revisions appear to be, for example, they would now from now on focus on recruiting more college graduates or university graduates as soldiers, as opposed to previously, perhaps, you know, you don't need to go to university to join the army, the armed forces, right? So they are now making a priority in recruiting what they would call high-quality soldiers. And also, I think during wartime, they are expecting that those skilled veterans to go back to their respective units to serve again, even if they have left the armed forces. Yeah.
Mm. Well, what's the message they're trying to send here? Is it potentially anything to do with the Taiwan conflict?
I'm not sure about specifically Taiwan,
okay.
But I think China is expecting that, you know, tensions in the region would heighten, and thereby war is a distinct possibility. That would, include across the Taiwan Strait, yeah.
Okay. Dr. Oh, there's this interesting development. According to three people familiar with the matter, a person prevented from leaving China this year is a Singaporean executive at a U.S. due diligence firm, Minsk Group. This in relation to China barring people from leaving the country, including foreign executives. What is going on here? What kind of due diligence are they up to?
Well, I think in recent months, China has been a bit iffy about this. Even foreign audit firms, you know, the Big Four and so on, doing audits on its large corporations, especially those state-owned enterprises. So this sort of, for example, due diligence investigation firms would also, I think, sort of targets for China's on investigations as to what exactly they are doing.
Okay.
I think China is not very happy that, for example, if some other foreign firms would like to do business with China, they don't trust China's on audit firms or China's on due diligence firms and so on. So it's somewhat of a posturing.
Dr. Oh, from your perspective, what does it say? It's a bit jarring, like, because the first thing that caught my attention, and maybe you can help me out as a bit of a layman, right? First thing that caught my attention was, hey, wait a minute, you as a country are showing that business is open now post-COVID, yet you've got all these restrictions still happening. Could it potentially, and this is from an economic point of view, potentially deter people or keep people on a sort of a wait-and-see approach where business with China is concerned?
Well, business is open, but business is open on my terms, right?
Ah.
I think we are seeing an increasingly, well, some people will use the term strident. I would just say confident China.
Okay.
In terms of, for example, trying to rewrite some of the rules, trying to set its own rules and so on. And I think from its perspective, the least that it would like to see in terms of all these dealings with foreign businesses is such that the foreign businesses would trust China's. So I think it's they are sending that signals rather strongly, yeah.
All right, we've been speaking with Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, as always, appreciate your time. Take care and have a great Tuesday evening.
Thank you very much indeed.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.